Thank you, Joseph, for leading us in our singing. I do want to say that if you are getting messaged as much as I am, the internet is down, the live stream is down. And so it's encouraging that people are trying to find it, though, right? But they're working real hard upstairs, and I appreciate them. Hey, technology is out of our control a lot of times, but I do want to say welcome to those who are with us today. Thank you, as Justin mentioned earlier, for being here. It's so great to see you. It's great to have you. We do have a lot that are traveling today. It starts, of course, a week of travel for a lot of people. And, yeah, I know that some are trying to say not to get with family and all that, but you have a hard time not getting me with family and being together and being thankful. And so we do want to encourage everyone to be safe. We do want to encourage everyone to stay well as best as possible. But again, it's certainly important, if you can, to be there and be there for one another. I do want to also say, please continue to remember in prayer. We mentioned him some time ago, but sometimes, and you know, when we had to go away from being in public or being in person worship and all. But Hillary and Hope's dad, we want to continue to remember him. He's certainly in need of prayers, and also them, as certainly they tend to him. And then also over here to my right, I was surprised to see Alicia May this morning. Alicia, you look great. Glad to have you with us today. Glad to have you back. I know you're not running around like you want to yet, but we're thankful that she is improving. So today I'm going to talk to you about Psalm 100. Justin mentioned Wednesday night that we don't talk about Psalm 100 enough. And he didn't know I was going to talk about it this Sunday as well. But I agree with him. We only talk about it this time of year, and it is a great psalm. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Psalm 100. We're going to draw lessons about being grateful. It is an attitude, right? Having gratitude is an attitude. Ingratitude is also an attitude. It's also a way of life. And unfortunately, we see a lot of people today who are ungrateful. We encounter, let me say that, a lot of people who are ungrateful. Maybe if someone holds the door open for you, or you hold it open for them, they're not thankful. Or maybe if someone you let someone over in traffic that needs to get off at the last minute, they're not thankful. They may not wait. Again, it's just a mindset going on today, right? That people aren't thankful like they used to be. But that can't be us. That can't be the children of God. We must portray and live an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thankfulness. It's exactly what the psalmist is trying to get across, as Justin pointed out Wednesday night, in Psalm 100. Join me again in Psalm 100 as we read this psalm together. Verse 1, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Those five verses speak volumes more than I could ever speak. We learned Wednesday night that Riley and others can say these verses because they've memorized them. Maybe perhaps, as was pointed out, we should memorize them. Maybe we should live this each and every day of our lives, because it's not just a once a year kind of passage, folks. It is a lifestyle for us to be thankful. Now listen, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. And I know a lot of y'all have just forgotten it and just blew past it because you got your Christmas stuff up, and I'm not judging you on that. But I love Thanksgiving for what it stands for. not just for sweet potato casserole, even though I like that pretty good, but I love it for what it stands for. And that's why, to me, it is so special that we spend time being thankful for what God has done and continues to do for us. You know, we make lists at Christmas. I remember as a child, one of my favorite things to do was make my Santa list. And now I love to see my children and their lists. I love to hear what other children are asking for. Maybe adults, we make a list still for Santa too. But the fact is, we make lists for Christmas. And then New Year's comes around and we make lists for that. I want to do this better. I want to be this. And I want to get off some weight. I want to get in the Bible more. You know, all those lists we make. But maybe the greatest lists we need to make are the lists of our blessings. Maybe we need to spend time at Thanksgiving making a Thanksgiving list. A list of the good things God has done for us. You know, it's this time of year I always challenge us. Do not, or spend some time in your prayers not asking God for anything. Spend some time in prayer this week not asking God for anything, but thanking Him for everything. Maybe you pray in the shower and you can start by saying, God got me up this morning. And maybe when that hot water hits your face, you can start by saying, thank you for this hot water. And then your prayer just goes on and on. Or maybe it's at the breakfast table and you've got food to eat. And we could go on and on, right? Wherever we pray, spend some time this week in prayer, just not asking God for anything, but thanking Him for everything. Make a list if that helps you. Someone once said, and I didn't originate this, but someone once said, I am thankful for the taxes I pay. Who says that, right? But they said, because it means I'm employed. I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug, because it means I have more than enough to eat. I'm thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need washing, gutters that need cleaning, because it means I have a home to go home to. I'm thankful for my huge heating bill, because it means I am warm. I am thankful for the large piles of laundry, because it means I have loved ones nearby. You know, when you think of it that way, it really is an attitude. When we can turn the negative into a positive and be thankful for what God's given us, that's when I think God is glorified. Remember, we're taught in Scripture that we are created to be thankful. The 100th Psalm was written for the people of Israel. God said to them, when you come into the promised land and you settle down in your homes you didn't build, in a land you didn't do anything to deserve, and you have plenty to eat that you didn't have to go out and starve for, He said, here's what I want you to do. In all that time, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember me when you have all these things that I've given you. You see, I led you out of the wilderness and I brought you into a land truly flowing with milk and honey. But it didn't take very long for Israel to forget, did it? It didn't take very long for the people of Israel to need a reminder. And I'm afraid if we're honest with ourselves, we're the same way. Sometimes we can complain a lot. Sometimes we can complain about things that are so minute. We can complain about things that we take for granted each and every day. But sometimes we need to stop, be still, reflect on our lives, and realize how blessed we really are. I know that we talk about how awful a year this is, but it's not going to be about how awful things are. It's going to be, how much good did you do with what I blessed you with? You see, I know it's easy to get stuck around how terrible we have it, but at the end of the day, no matter if it's the worst year of our lives this year, we've still got it pretty good. And we need to be thankful. Perhaps we need that reminder more than just once a year. You see, if we're not careful, there's a real chance we will base our thanksgiving. Please don't miss this. If we're not careful, there's a great chance we will base our thanksgiving on the basis of how much we have in our lives. For instance, boy, I'm so thankful today because I've got so much food to eat. Boy, I'm so thankful to God today because I've got enough money in the bank and I don't have to stress over bills. I'm so thankful today because the doctor gave me a good bill of health. And again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be thankful over that. But should that really be the basis of our thanksgiving? Yeah, they're important. Money, food, clothing, shelter, health, all those things are important. But look at the psalm. He said, when you read this, you'll see Lord, Lord, His Lord. When we thank God for our food and we thank God, again, I'm not saying we shouldn't be thankful for it, but when that becomes the basis of our thankfulness, then we put the attention back on us. Behind this wall is water. And when I go down in that water and I contact the blood of Jesus Christ, God does it, not me, but I'm immersed in that water and I come up to walk in newness of life. When Terry went down in that water, Terry was put to death. He's now dead Terry. When he came up, he's now living for Christ. You see, it's not about me anymore. It's about Him. And so my basis needs to be about Lord, Lord, His Lord. It needs to be about God. So how, then, the question must be begged, how can we grow our thankfulness? How can this mean something to us more than just once a year, once a month out of 12, 1 month out of 12? How can this just be something that's more important than that? How can we make it more important than that? Well, I don't think we have to come up with a great formula. I don't think I have to come up with a whole bunch of catchy words that all sound the same and alliterate it, even though I like doing that. I don't think there's some special sermon out there that's going to make it trigger because I believe it's written right here in the psalm. And so today's points come from all five verses, and here they are. Number one, you want to be more thankful? Then we need to make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. The word make. The Hebrew word make, it's actually said in the English the way we would say it, ruah, ruah. Here's what it means, literally, to shout, to raise a sound, to cry out, to give a blast, to shout a war cry or alarm of battle, to sound a signal for war or march, to shout in triumph over enemies, to shout in applause. Now listen, when your team scored about 1,000 points yesterday, okay, y'all were shouting up and y'all were jumping up and down and shouting. You can ask my wife. I didn't do any shouting in mine. I mean, I sit calm. I really am not that much into it. But I've been into some games, and I've lost my voice, and I've shouted when some 20-something-year-olds. Because they were doing well, I was doing well, and I was basing my feelings on them. And we shout for that, right? I shouted on Friday nights for even younger kids. We've shouted when we've shot that trophy deer or caught that huge fish. Maybe you shouted on Black Friday when you found that deal. You know, what we could go on and on about what we shout, and I'm not sitting here saying you shouldn't. But when it comes to God, He needs to get the loudest shout. And we sit on our hands. And we're just, oh no, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I am. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Quit letting the devil try to make us shut our mouths. I don't care what society says. I don't care what the world says. We are children of the Most High. And we need to make a joyful shout. He didn't say, like, "I'm talking to you now." I'm talking pretty loud, I know. But did you hear it? It's about a war cry. It's a signal for war. When they were coming to kill somebody or be killed, they were shouting like, "We're going to take their heads off." You see, that's the idea. As Christians, we must speak out. Maybe we need to make a list of all the good things God has done for us, or the blessings we have. And I'm not just talking about bank account and all that. I'm talking about being free from sin. And then we might need to get out, go out on our back porch and just shout in the air, "Thank you, God." Now, before you sit here and say, "Terry, that is just absolutely crazy," don't take it up with me. Take it up with Him. Does He not deserve, if a football team deserves our shouting, how much does the Almighty? Christians, we gotta step up. If we want to be thankful people, then we must have an attitude of shouting joy. When we see a victory, we need to make some noise. Peter and John, in Acts chapter 4, they're put on trial. They're beaten. They're severely threatened. "Do not teach in the name of Jesus Christ ever again." Peter and John said, "Hey, look, you do what you've got to do. You beat us, you stone us, you kill us, but we can't help but speak in the name of Jesus Christ." You want to talk about us being muzzled? They were being muzzled, but they could not quit teaching about Jesus Christ. Suddenly, we need to realize how God has been so good to us, and we can't keep it inside anymore. We've got to tell the world. We've got to tell people. We've got to tell others how good God has been. Secondly, this morning, you want to remain thankful? Then you got to do verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. To me, this is the key to truly being thankful. We need to shout and we need to be excited about God. And we need to be excited about Jesus and His Spirit. We need to be excited about the church. We need to be excited about good things that are going on. But we also need to be serving. Serve the Lord with gladness. This is the key to thankfulness because I believe it's the key to Christianity. And I think I can prove that this morning in the time that we have allotted. In Philippians chapter 2, we understand Paul there writing to the church at Philippi to encourage them. He said this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." In other words, he could have walked on this earth, built the most magnificent temple you've ever seen. You think Solomon's was magnificent? Jesus could have built it even bigger. Solomon, remember, silver was worthless in his kingdom. In the temple, it was all worthless because they had so much gold. Jesus could have done it better than that. Jesus could have had a throne room. Remember the throne room in the temple, or the Holy of Holies, I should say? They had those, it was 30 feet, and they had those two 15-foot wingspan angels that were carved out of olive wood. I mean, it was a massive scene, right? And they were touching the wall, and one was touching in the middle, and then the other one's touching here. They're carved out, hand-carved out of olive wood, overlaid in gold, and there set the Ark of the Covenant. As magnificent as that was, Jesus could have had a throne room that blew that away. And He could have came, and He could have sat on this throne. Here's what Paul is saying. He could have sat on the throne, and He would have been the only man who's ever walked this earth that it would have been okay to bow down to because He was God. That's what the Jews expected Him to do, and that's certainly what He could have done. But Paul didn't stop there. He said he made himself of no reputation. Here it is. Don't miss it. Taking the form of a servant. In Luke chapter 15, there are lost things. There's a lost coin. There's a lost sheep. And there's a lost son, and we call him the prodigal son. And in Luke chapter 15, we learn that prodigal son has the attitude that we all have before we go down in the water, right? Give me mine. And the father who represents God in the story gave it to him. And he went and he wasted it all. Partied it away. The money ran out. The food ran out. The friends ran out. He ended up in a pig's pen. An animal that was unclean to him. And there he is. He's so hungry, he would eat the pig slop if he could. But Luke reminds us there that in that pig slop, in that pig pen, he came to himself. And he said to himself, I'm going home, not as a son, but as a servant. You see, sometimes if we truly want to understand the key to Christianity, if I am truly a thankful Christian today, then I need to ask myself, am I serving? Jesus Christ came to serve, not to be served. God illustrates to us in Luke 15 that we've got to go through the pig pen sometimes before we come to ourselves and realize that my job is to not be served, but to serve. Jesus washed feet. The Hebrew writer said, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Today, you want to be thankful? You want to be Christ-like? Then let's get off our hands. Let's get off our bottoms. Let's get on our feet. Let's get on our knees, whatever we need to do, and let's serve. That's the greatest form of gratitude we could do. Thirdly, this morning, how do I make thankfulness not just be once a year? Well, then I've got to look at verse 3. I need to come into His presence with singing. Here are the first three commands of Psalm 100. I want you to be happy. That means you need to shout with joy. I want you to serve with gladness. And then I want you to come in with song. So I want to ask you today, when you came in to worship, what song was on your heart? I'm not talking about some Ozzy Osbourne song. I'm talking about what godly song was on your heart. Did you come to worship prepared today? That's Siri trying to get cute this morning. I didn't even say, hey, her name. What song is on our heart? Today, as Joseph, before I came up and spoke, led us in It Is Well With Your Soul. Man, I hope that song's on our heart. The last verse, wow, right? The trump shall sound, the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. What song is on your heart? What song is on your lips? I want you to remember this. Singing illustrates our feelings. When you are feeling good, you are singing upbeat. Or you're singing. Man, if things are going well, you got a song, you're whistling, everything's great. When we're not feeling well, we're singing the blues, right? Football teams on Friday nights, if you don't think music makes a difference. Mobile Christian comes out to Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle. Now, y'all can pray for the school and the board and all that, okay? We don't come out to Barry Manilow or Kenny G. Could you imagine? I mean, Kenny G's beautiful music, right? But could you imagine we're going through the tunnel and he's got some saxophone key that he's hitting right there? No. because we want to be fired up. We want to be intense. What song's on our hearts when it comes to serving the Lord? Are we singing the blues? Are we upbeat? Are we excited? Are we thankful? Fourthly, this morning, comes from verse 4. You want to be thankful? Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. If you do not remember how thankful you are, just remember verse 4. God took every bone, every joint, He formed them together with tendons and muscles, and covered them with skin, and gave us eyes that see, brains that think, and hands that can pick things up. God made us, inside and out. And you know what? He made us exactly the way He wants us to be. I look around and I see beautiful people. And I see some beautiful children around this place. And they have beautiful mamas and beautiful daddies. And at the end of the day, that mama and daddy may say, look at what we made. But I want you to know something, you really didn't. Because God did. You see, God makes us. He forms us. And He makes us the way we're supposed to be. It says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. He made us the exact way He wants us to be, and He's still making us. He's still forming us. Because He is the potter, and we are the clay. You see, He's not satisfied with the unfinished product. He's not satisfied with our tempers. He's not satisfied with our sins. He's not satisfied with the weak areas of our lives. So God is still forming us. He's still making us. And we're still a work in progress. But God's our maker. And we're created in His image. Therefore, we need to give Him thanks for what He's done for every one of us. Finally, this morning, if I'm going to truly be thankful, if I'm truly going to have this attitude every day of my life, then I've got to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And I've got to give thanks to Him and bless His name. I know that's the whole key to what we're talking about. But I need you to see this before we leave this morning. In the Old Testament, the temple symbolized the presence of God. I walked you through Solomon's temple briefly. At the Ark of the Covenant, in between those two angels, those two cherubim, the Ark of the Covenant was there. It used to be in the tabernacle. And then Solomon, through David's idea, Solomon's creation, created the Holy of Holies in this great temple. And when they would come in, the priests who sprinkle the blood on the Ark of the Covenant, they would come there because the presence of God dwelt at the Ark of the Covenant. You see, the temple symbolized God's presence before the people in Psalm 100. So whenever the people came to the temple and entered the courtyards, they knew that they had come into the presence of God. I mean, think about that for a moment. You know, you talk about check your attitude at the door. You know you're going to the Holy of Holies or to the temple to worship God where His presence literally is. You better check your attitude at the door, right? You better come into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts before you even get into the temple. You better be praising. You better be shouting. You better be singing. You better be serving. But you know what happened? Nebuchadnezzar took over and he tore that temple down. Tore it to shreds. Yeah, they built it back later. Solomon's temple, that beautiful building, represented the presence of God. They tore it down, destroyed it. But guess what? They didn't destroy God. They didn't destroy, when they destroyed that temple, they didn't destroy God. The place where we meet to worship right here today, God is here. He's here in the middle of us. And it's nothing holy about this building. They could tear it down tomorrow. And we could go and worship out in the grass in someone's home. And God would still be in the middle of us. Because God isn't dwelling in bricks and mortar. He's dwelling in the presence of His children. My question to you and my question to me today is, did I come into His gates with thanksgiving? Did I come into His courts with praise? Did I get out of the car fighting with my husband or my wife? Did I get out of the car fussing with my children? Did I get out of the car worried about bills tomorrow? Did I get out of the car and enter in here worried about this and worried about that, talk about this and talk about that? Or did I come here saying, yes, we get to worship God? You see, it won't end here today. When we drive down the road, if I worship Him as a family in song and prayer, talk about how we can be better, He'll be in the car with us. Tomorrow when I go to my secular job, you go to your secular job. You got a moment of Bible study, you got a moment of prayer, you got a moment of talking about Him, He can be in the middle of that. He can be in the middle of our devotionals with our children. He is with us every moment of our lives. How are we responding to Him? What if God began to treat us like we so often treat Him? What if God met our needs to the same extent that we give Him our lives? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled when God sent the rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God took away His message because we wouldn't listen to His messenger? What if He wouldn't bless us today because we didn't thank Him properly yesterday? What if God answered our prayers the way we answer His call for service? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we didn't follow Him today? As we get ready to close, I want you to ask yourselves this. Am I thankful? And I know that that's a simple question. Man, it really has a complex answer. Have I done those five things? Do I do them just this time of year? Or am I doing them every day of my life? See, we're getting ready to close. And I'm going to say a prayer. And I'm only going to thank God. Then the invitation's open. If you need to become a child of the King today, or you need to get right, I want to encourage you to do so. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank You for this avenue of prayer. Thank You for Jesus Christ, who makes it possible. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit, who takes our jumbled up jargon, cleans it up really nice, and presents it before Your throne. Thank You for the Word that You've given to us. Thank You for the ease that we have to open it up and read it, study it, talk about it freely. Thank you for the church that you designed, that your Son died for, and that those apostles brought into existence. Thank you for the local church that all these years later we can still gather and know that you're right here with us today. Thank you for the leadership. Thank you for the souls. Thank you, Father, for being our God. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you for allowing us freedom to be able to worship you. Thank you most of all for Jesus Christ. It's our prayer in His name. Amen.